So you guys might be thinking to yourselves, Pastor's liking that like drawing board week after week after week. I find it handy to teach with. But if you would open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 115. Psalm 115. I want to look at that this morning. Psalm 115. As you remember that we looked at last week, the Lord cares for one thing amongst many things, but one thing amongst many things alone. And what is that? His name. We just sang about that. That it is about, not about us, not to us, but it's to His name, which is the glory. So we chatted about that. That we tend to get this central idea, our thinking and our thoughts, is that the reason that Jesus came to the earth was to what? Was to save us. That was amongst His work to do. But His primary thing was to glorify His Father's name by doing what He had signed Him and asked Him to do. And we know that was to die for man so that man could be reconciled to God. But we want to put our spin on it and go, the reason Jesus came was to save me. That being the primary thing. But it wasn't the primary thing. We were the benefits of it. It was to glorify His Father, His name, by doing His work, by doing His will, of which we are the beneficiaries. So not to us. We have Psalm 115. Keep your hand there. I've got a statement here I want to shine on the situation. Church Father Origen said this, what each one honors before all else, what before all things he admires and loves, this for him is God. Now, I don't know this guy personally. He lived a long time ago. But he seems like a pretty wise fella. What's he saying? That which catches your attention and keeps your attention other than God is an idol. For you, that is God. So whatever that might be, that is a God for you. We see in Psalm 115, we have this song that they would sing in their worship time. And in my title, it's titled Glory to God Alone. To Him, His name alone. Anybody know the background of this psalm? Why was it written? Psalms are great. We like to go there to the book of Psalms when we're down to get built back up, to feel good, to hear God speak. They're comforting. They give you solace. They give you joy. But Psalm 115 was written specifically for one specific event. No. Thank you for playing. No. But it was written specifically for the time when the Israelites came back into the land. And they had just finished rebuilding the city, rebuilding the walls, and what else? They rebuilt the temple. And so Psalm 115 is, in a way, a dedication psalm. A dedication to God, and it's a remembrance of what He had done. Because where had the Israelites been? They'd been out. They'd been in Babylon. They had been wandering. They had been exiled because of what? This exact statement, that it was all about them. It was about them. And so they were God. They did what they wanted to do and they saw the nations around them. They wanted to be about the nations about them. And so they continually did the things that offended God. The prophet Jeremiah and the prophet Ezekiel, if you read through their books, you'll be highly encouraged. Not. But you'll gain some valuable wisdom, because that is a story of where Judah was and where Judah went. And then Judah returns. And it says in there, I was reading it last night in Jeremiah, is that they did everything and anything they could to basically make God mad, and didn't correct themselves, didn't repent, didn't change. And so they go through the exile, and they go out, and they're in Babylon, living in Babylon, and then all of a sudden, and then there's a remnant that's left behind. And the king appoints Gedaliah, I think his name was, to be king of the remnant that's left behind. And Gedaliah is eventually killed by an army of individuals led by Nathan. And they kill him. Why? Well, this is our land. This is not your land. But they take the remnant, and this army of commanders take this remnant, and they go to the Israelite remnant, is, we're going to leave. We're going to leave town. We're going to go to Egypt. And we're going to live in Egypt, because in Egypt there's clothing, there's food, we'll have provisions, we'll be provided for, and what? We'll be protected. Because Egypt was a country that had strength as well. But Jeremiah says to them, and interesting thing is, they come to Jeremiah and they go, Jeremiah, basically, pray for us. Pray to the Lord for us so that we might have favor, and whatever the Lord says to us, we will do. Have you ever said that to God? And then God answers you, and you go, really? That's exactly what happens in the situation in Jeremiah chapters 42 through 44. They come to Jeremiah and say, pray for us that we might have the favor of God, and whatever God tells us to do, we will do. Well, you know what the answer was? Stay in Judah. Don't go to Egypt. What do the people do? Jeremiah, you're off your rocker. We're not going to listen to you. God hasn't been speaking to you, because there's no way on earth that God would leave us in this desolate wasteland with no food, with no protection, with no housing, when we could go to Egypt. What do you think God's response was? God's response was, I tell you the truth. He who goes to Egypt will die of sword, of famine, of captivity. What do the Israelites do? Do they repent? No. They go. And they go to Egypt, and they die. There's only a small remnant left that God brings back into Judah. If you're reading through this story, what are you thinking? Well, I'd never do the things that they did. Right? And then what do you end up doing? The exact same thing that they did. Except for the consequences aren't so dire. Your house doesn't typically burn down. An army doesn't come in and remove you. And you're not going to be left in desolation. Well, maybe you might struggle with food or rent or whatever. But this psalm is written by the Israelites as they come back into the land. It's 70 years later, and they've returned. And what do you see? You see a heart change. A heart attitude has changed. And it's titled, Glory to God Alone. They've learned their lesson. Let's read it. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your faithful love and because of your truth. What do you hear? Why are they giving glory? Because of God's faithfulness. Because of his faithful love and because of his truth is why they're giving him glory. Your name give glory alone. Lord, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about you. Verse 2, why should the nations say, where is their God? What's going on? Well, we remember your story, Israel. We remember that you were proud and did whatever you did and your kings and all of them, and now look at you. You've gone into desolation. You've been destroyed and captured by the kings of Babylon. You've lost fights to the Philistines. Egypt has overpowered you. Where is your God? Where is your God indeed? Who is saying this? The nations of the people around them. What is the culture of the nations around them? What's the culture? They have what? They have a nice bird god that they put down and they worship. Where is your God? Here is our God. He does well for us. He provides for us. Why do we need your God? Look what your God has done. You've gone into captivity. You've been destroyed. You've been thoroughly. Look at your city, Jerusalem, the capital of your God, and it is lying in ruins. Where is your God? They're being chided. Goaded. The remnant has returned. They built their temple to their God. Where is your God indeed? Those are just stones. Their answer is what? Our God is in heaven and does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak. Eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear. Noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. Feet, but cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throats. Those who make them are just like them, as are all who trust in them. Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord add to your numbers, both yours and your children's. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the human race. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, nor any of those descending into the silence of death, but we will praise the Lord both now and forever. Hallelujah. Have they learned their lesson? It sounds like it. First thing we learn is verse 1 is give glory to only the Lord. We talked about that. Give glory only to the Lord. Second verse, make strong confession in God. How's your confession about God? Do you talk about them? Do you share them? Do you share them with others? When you're taunted and poked at, yeah, your God is, I don't know, Paul, powerful God, where's your God? When people are sick, when people are dying. If your God really existed, then he wouldn't let people suffer. You ever been challenged that way? If your God is real, if. It's the same thing that the Israelites faced. Same thing that Judah faced. Same thing that a lost nation returns to desolation and they rebuild their temple and they're goaded the whole time. Surely you have learned your lesson. God's not going to show up. And the people say, our God is in heaven. Our God is in heaven. Our God is not a God that is encased in wood or ceramic that we would use to fuel our homes, that we use to cook our meals. Our God is real. Quite a change in 70 years, wouldn't you say? From worshiping and doing exactly as those around them to now a complete change and they're making a strong confession in the Lord, you can goad us all you want, but our God is in heaven and he does what? Whatever he pleases. Whatever he pleases. Sounds a little bit that they've learnt the lesson of Job. Job went through everything, right? He was a man that we would say was after God's own heart. He didn't commit sin. He went to church on Sundays and he would offer sacrifice for his daughters and his sons and his slaves and his servants just in case they sinned. This is how God-fearing that Job was. And then stuff happens. He's allowed to be tested by Satan. Satan goes, the only reason Job praises your name as you never let anything bad happen to him. God says, well, okay, I'll take that bet. I'll let you challenge him. I'll let you afflict him. I'll let you do all these sorts of things, but he will still praise my name. And Satan's challenge is, no, he'll curse you to his face, your face. And what happens? All his livestock, all his possessions, his children. And even his wife. Says, Job, you've done something. I don't know exactly what you've done. It's in secret, it's in hiding. But whatever you've done, repent. Confess. He's got his friends that come around and say the same thing. And what is Job's response to his wife? He says, are we only to accept good from God and not bad? He says something else before that. He says, you speak like a foolish woman. Is this our countenance? Is this our thinking? That all bad is from the enemy and all good is from God. God says to Jeremiah, when the Israelites decide to ignore his words about going to Egypt, and he says, I'm going to watch over them and look over them for wrath and not for good. Is that not startling words? He's going to preside over his anger over them and his correction. And we go, God wouldn't do that. Yes, he does. according to the Bible. Because he cares for us. He wants us to do what is right and wise in his ways. He wants us to follow him. But he's not a weak father who cannot follow through on his challenges, on his correction with his children. What does the Bible say about fathers? What would fathers do with their children? He will correct them if he loves them. And we see this. Well, that's terrible for God to do this. Is it? What's he trying to build? He's trying to build a people after his own heart, a holy nation, a nation after him. And what do we see 70 years later? We see his people going, not to us, but to you, but to your name, but to your name. It's all about you. So we have verses 4 through 8. They talk about this whole idea of idols, right? Because they lived in the land of idols in Babylon. They were encased, immersed in idol worship. They had to serve a king that did idol worship. They were immersed in it, and they talk about what? The idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, and feet but cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throats. Those who make them are just like them, as are all who trust in them. This is quite quite strong. Because we call this what? What would we call this psalm so far? What would you call it? Psalm 115? I'm sure they called that that. This is Psalm 115. No. Psalm 115 is what? It's a witness psalm. It's a witness, a testimony to who God is, to who he is. So give glory to only the Lord. I follow the Lord God. Make a strong confession. This is why I follow the Lord God. This is what he did in my life. I saw everything that my wife, my mom did. That she went into jail 4 different times. She married 8 different gentlemen. She went after riches and gold, and it ended up in what? Nothing. She ended up dying in a YWCA in downtown Edmonton from pneumonia. That's how she died. She had just left her 8th husband, who gave her an hour to get out of town because she had drained his bank accounts. You think I'm going to follow after the things that my mother did? I saw the things that she did and going after the things of this world, and it ended up in her death and a miserable life. Now let me tell you what God did. He took me out of the barrel of abnormality that I believe there was, right? There's 2 barrels in life. This is my theology. It's not biblical. There's two barrels, right? The one barrel is called what? Normal. Right? You guys know what the normal barrel is all about? You don't know what the normal barrel is all about? Really? It's like family. It's like a dog. It's like a house. It's a good job. Yeah, hey. It's, 6-digit figure. right? Oh, I forgot the most important thing. It's a wife for me. That's the normal life, isn't it? The white picket fence. Other people would call this what? The American dream. But I wasn't in that barrel. I was in the abnormal barrel. What was the abnormal barrel? Poverty? Cat? Cat? What else was abnormal for me is poverty, it was a cat. My mom played bingo. My mom was in jail. I was in foster families, two of them. I spent time on couches of strangers. My mom was in jail in Kelowna, and she got out of jail because the people she met put up her bail. And we stayed with them. When she got out, we skipped town that night. So, forgive me if this looked like, heaven. Right? This is the normal life. This was my life. But what was at the base of it? What was the problem? These were all symptoms of what? Of what?
Idols.
Yeah. Self. All those things. Brokenness. Yeah. All of that. I thought all of this doesn't equal brokenness. All of this does. But what did I find out once I got into this barrel? I got put back into this barrel. Because then my first wife passes away at the age of 28. Leaving me with Taylor and Michaela. Yeah. Yeah, this don't exist. Right? The only thing that exists is what? Heaven. God. He is the one that is what? Perfect. To him alone. It's not about me. It's about him. What was at the base of this was brokenness. Me. God. I'm God. My mom grew up in a Christian home. My mom grew up going to church every week. She was even engaged to a man that was going into the ministry. And you know what she said? She said, you either choose the ministry or you choose me. None of the two will meet. Who do you think is going to win out on an ultimatum between God and man? God. So this was my life. But what did I find when I got over the barrel? I find that he who goes after God, he watches over. He protects. He provides. Maybe not in the way that I think he should, but in the way that God knows it'll benefit you. Well, why did I have to go through that in the first place? To know what sin and death is? So that I won't go that same way? So that my kids won't go that same way? God has a plan. God had a bigger plan for my life. So what do you do? I can honestly say my life is not cookies and creams. Not at all. But I do know that after this life, I will be with God in heaven. that it's not about this life. It's not about me. It's about God. And so he has me, what? He had me broken. So what? I can reach into this world that is broken. Right? And share the gospel, right, of God's perfect world, his design, and made perfect through what? The sacrifice of Jesus, who came to this world and died and rose so that my sin that separates me from God will be no more, that I have to believe transform, which would be what? Repent of my sin that I might have life. And once I have life, my life doesn't stop there. Where does it go? I go into the world and talk about Jesus so that I might pull people out of brokenness and bring them to Jesus, and that they might do the same thing. Make sense? This psalm is about a nation's life that has changed. They finally realized what they've been missing this whole time was right in front of them, God. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is perfect. He restores out of brokenness. He makes one complete. Can an idol hear your prayers? Would you pray to a block of wood? Some people do, worldwide. They also cook with that same block of wood. Can they talk to you? Can idols talk to you? Can an idol move himself from here over to here? Not without the assistance of a human hand. God doesn't need that. He doesn't need any of that from us. Because God is one himself. Before anything was who? I am. I am God. Interesting is verse 4, verse 8. Those who make them are just like them, as are all who trust in them. Interesting verse. Why? Those who follow after idols can't hear. Those who follow after idols can't speak. They can't love. They have no compassion. Because that which you follow after, you become. Isn't that what Origen said? The church father at the beginning? It's exactly what he said. Invite everyone to trust in the Lord, verses 9 through 11. Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. Who's the house of Aaron? It's the priests. Trust in the Lord. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. It's not my time, but it's his time. It's not my agenda, it's his agenda. Revelation 12:11 talks about what? There's this picture of the seven seals, right? The seals. And it's in the throne room. And we have the horsemen have come through. And now we have this picture of the two witnesses came through, that the world witnesses and they're put to death, and they still don't listen to what the Lord has to say. They still don't believe. So we have this story in Revelation. This picture, I don't want to say story, but picture, is about the woman, the child, and the dragon. Okay? Who's the woman? Who's the child? Who's the dragon? We just know that this is a really weird story. Okay? A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, cried out in the Lord in labor and agony to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. There was a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were... Okay, goes on. But here, verse 4. And the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she did give birth, he might devour her child. But she gave birth to a son, capital S, a male who was going to shepherd all nations with an iron scepter, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God to be fed there for 1260 days. We don't understand everything in there, but we know the son is who? Jesus. The woman is who? Israel. Gives birth to the son, to the Messiah. Right? And then what happens? The dragon is waiting to devour the son. We know that happened in Judah. Well, he's waiting to kill him. So what happens? Then war broke out in heaven. Where? In heaven. In heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels also fought, but he could not prevail, and there was no place for them in heaven any longer. What'd you catch? Satan and his angels were in heaven, fighting, war. So the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent who is called who? The devil. And Satan, the one who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down, thrown to the earth, and his angels with him. Then the woman is persecuted. And this is where it comes. So the dragon was furious, verse 17, with the woman and left to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony about Jesus. Do you have the testimony about Jesus? You do. What does that mean then? It means we're at war. The dragon is at war. Whether we're at war or not, we are at war. And he is apt to kill and starve and do whatever he can for us, against us. But there was a solution. Chapter 12, verse 11 says what? They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives in the face of death. So what happened? How did they conquer the enemy? By the sacrifice of Jesus. One. What's the second one? By your testimony. By our testimony. By speaking the gospel, the truth, into the world, the enemy is defeated. And what was the third component? We sacrificially do that. It's my sacrifice. It's by sacrifice that that happens. It's the only way that it can happen, is you have to care about other people's souls more than you care about your own. And God says that's the way it happens. I can draw a diagram all I want, but do I really mean it? Do I really care about that person that I'm talking to? I have to. If you remain connected to the vine, you will be remain connected to me and to my word and do those things that I ask you to do. Those are the people that are what? My friends, Jesus says. Oh, it's going long. Okay. Conquered the devil in three ways: the blood of Jesus, the word of their testimony, and my sacrifice. That's how this happens. So then what? Number 4, verses 12 through 15, they share their confidence in the Lord. They say what? Trust. Trust in the Lord. We've done it. We've done it. I've seen how he's worked in my life. I no longer have a life of brokenness, but I have a life of fulfillment and purpose. I have life. I know what I'm about. I know what I should be about. I may not get the riches today, but I know tomorrow I have something better than riches on earth. My confidence in the Lord, this story. How do I know heaven is real? Because my wife, my first wife, Jackie, I was at her side when she passed. And I was talking with her. She could not talk back. She could only hear. I could tell she was hearing what I was saying. And my pastor told me, you know what? You need to tell her it's okay to go. Toughest thing I ever done. So I'm sitting there with her, talking to her. And I said, Jackie, it's okay to go. We're going to be okay. Then things start happening. To that point, she had never opened her eyes since she was put in a state to handle the pain. She opened her eyes and she looked. She was looking up. And you could watch her eyes and she was focusing on stuff. She was seeing things. And then she looked over at me to say goodbye and looked back up, and that was it. I know heaven's for real. I know Jesus, his word is true. Do we believe this or not? This is the greatest gift in all of the earth. We need to share it. That's my confidence. So be a faithful steward on the earth. Be a faithful steward of the earth, but also be a faithful steward in the earth. Because you've been given the greatest story ever. The truth. You need to share that. Challenge everyone to praise God. They challenge everyone, praise God, praise God, praise God. Do you praise God? When you come to church, do you praise God? Are you in the mindset when you come to this building, though it's just a building, you're coming before the throne of God, of Christ, to praise Him? We can get into, as my friend Wayne says, the doldrums, right? Habit. We're just coming to church. Just come. Well, the pastor is a little bit long today. He was long all the time. You know, that didn't really pick me up today. Who's responsible for your feeding? You are. You are. I'm a man just as you are a man or a woman. But we're all responsible, and we all answer to one Lord, Jesus, ourselves. You can't blame other people for your devotional life being not good, because that's your responsibility. Challenge everyone to praise God. Are you praising God? Are you in the Word? I had this revelation last night at about 3:30 in the morning. Was this. You know how it talks about in Matthew that in the last days, in the end times, people's love, people's hearts will grow cold? Everybody's. Not just the lost, but the found. Why? And it occurred to me. Is because the relationship with God, at the point when the dragon appears and the beast appears, the elect would even be deceived if the days were not cut short. Why? Why is that, Lord? Because their relationship with me has waned. How do you have a close relationship with God? Talk to Him, right? Pray to Him. What's the primary resource we have? How we know we are supposed to live? The Bible. That occurred to me. It's like God put it right there. He said, hearts are going to grow cold because they don't know me and they don't know my word. My word has not remained in them. That's what exactly happened to Israel. And if we're not careful, then it'll happen to you and me as well. That's why the word is so important. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for that your word does not return void. Lord, when we pick it up, when we pick up your divinely inspired word, your spirit speaks. Father, I pray that this year for us, it's not about us. It's not about our wants. It's not about our thing. It is about the lost. It's about another brother and sister who needs edification, who needs building up, who needs time spent. Maybe they need our resources. But let us be committed to this is not about us, but it's all about you. And that we would be faithful stewards this morning and going forth this year. Lord, would you bless us with your favor as we submit and humble to you. Father, would you bring people and opportunities for us to share the gospel with people, and that we would see fruition. We would produce a harvest for you that you would glorify. Father, would you build our church? We humbly submit to you. It's not about us. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus.